Did you notice what a strange way that first verse started out? It said, "And then the Holy Spirit drove him into the wilderness to be tested by the devil." Now, what had happened just prior to this? Well, we talked about that on the first Sunday of Epiphany, and that was the baptism of our Lord. Jesus had no need for John's baptism, remember? John preached a baptism of repentance for people to confess their sins and change their lives. Well, Jesus was without sin. But Jesus went to John to be baptized because Jesus came to this earth to be like you and me. Jesus came into this world to identify with human beings. And to identify with human beings means to identify with the things that we struggle with. And so it was appropriate that Jesus would kneel before John and that he would be baptized. And that is when the heavens opened up and the Spirit descended and we heard the voice, "This is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased." Now, interestingly, Epiphany begins with that word and it ended with that same blessing last week on the Mount of Transfiguration. "This is my beloved Son, whom I loved, with whom I am well pleased. Hear him." So we've come full circle. But right after that baptism, that same Holy Spirit, filled with the love of God, pushed Jesus out into the wilderness to fast for 40 days and 40 nights. What godly purpose could have been in that? Now, the children helped us talk about wilderness territory, help identify wilderness lands that we might think about in this country. But where Jesus was located along the Jordan River, whether he was at the upper Jordan or the lower Jordan, there were no forest lands, there were no swamp lands. The wilderness around that area was mountainous, barren desert. And Jesus went out into that wilderness with the wild animals, with the starkness of the desert, probably meditated and prayed in a cave, much as Elijah had done centuries before when he retreated and felt driven into the wilderness. And there prayed to God, fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, lived on nothing but water, and at the end of that period, the devil came to him and tempted him. Tempted him on several levels, most immediately on the physical level. It had been a long time since he was eaten, so he said, "Turn these stones into bread." Now, what's important for us to realize is not to make Jesus so godly that we think, "Oh, well, that was nothing for Jesus." Jesus was driven into the wilderness to be tempted. I tell you, if you're on a diet and you hate chocolate, then chocolate cake's no temptation. Am I right? I mean, if you're on a diet and, you hate broccoli, which is something you probably ought to eat when you're on a diet, broccoli is no temptation. Now, maybe that cheese he's oozing over it might be. But you see, you've got to like something and want something for it to be a temptation. It has to be real to you. It has to be something that you want to reach out for if it's really a temptation. And in order for Jesus to identify with you and me, he was willing to be tempted with what he wanted. And at that time, his body was saying, "I want something to eat." And the devil was there to provide that. "Turn these breads into stones. I know that you're Jesus." But he didn't really say that. He says, if you are who you say you are, use your power to turn these stones into bread. And Jesus used a scripture to quote him back and resisted that temptation. Jesus was truly tempted to take the devil up on that. He was hungry. He really did have the power to turn stones into bread, but he resisted that temptation. So the devil just turned it up a notch. What did Jesus want to accomplish in his ministry? He wanted people to listen to him, pay attention to what he had to say, so they could learn what God was trying to say through him. That was what he willed. That's what he wanted in his mind. That was his mental picture for his ministry. And so the devil crept into that will and that desire and took him up on the pinnacle of the temple. The devil used the scriptures this time to tempt Jesus. He says, throw yourself down here from the pinnacle of the temple. Boy, people will listen to you then. Because scripture says the angels will not allow you to be harmed. They'll sweep in and rescue you. I mean, if you really want people to pay attention, if you really want people to listen to you, you do something spectacular like that, and Jesus, you got it made. And Jesus was tempted. It was true. Scripture had promised that to the Messiah. Jesus could have done it. It was tempting not to take the devil up on that. That would have been the easy way. And I think a lot of us might have given in to that. You know, our whole society is a society of hype. We hype things up and make them spectacular to get people's attention, you know, just in order to sell them something. I mean, advertisers spend, you know, what is it, $1 million for a minute during the Super Bowl, or is it more than that? Just to do something spectacular, and most of the time we don't even remember what they were advertising. Maybe you're better at that than I do. I remember the ads, but golly, what were they selling, you know? It's hype. We live in a world of hype. And the devil was tempting Jesus to hype things up and do something extraordinary and spectacular in order to accomplish what he really wanted to accomplish in his mind. But Jesus says you don't tempt God that way. So finally, the devil went spiritual. What was the spiritual reality God was trying to bring to our world in Christ Jesus? God was trying to reconcile the world to himself. God created the world in a perfect state, and sin messed that up. And God finally sent his son back into the world to try to straighten that back out and reconcile the world back into God's love and God's perfection. So the devil took him up on the highest mountain, and through some vision or sight thing, Jesus was able to see all of the kingdoms of the earth. He was in a perfect place to see all of the kingdoms of the earth. That's what God wanted to do. Spiritually, that's what he wanted to reclaim, the entire earth for his God and his Father. The devil said, all you got to do is bow down and worship me, and I'll give you all of this. But that was too high a price for Jesus to pay. And he resisted the devil, and the devil fled from him. We're tempted every day of our lives. Just before I got up here to preach, during the anthem, I think the devil was tempting me with some thoughts to distract me. And they were not nice thoughts. And I had to fight them. I mean, I'm not real proud to confess that to you. But I got it during that anthem. And I felt being pulled away from God and God's purposes. And I had to struggle with that. And I had to say, get behind me, Satan. I had to get back into it. Because that's not why I'm here. But why shouldn't it happen to me? It happens to all of us, doesn't it? We go to do something good and an evil, ugly thought enters our mind. You see, every wilderness we go into isn't in the wild country. Sometimes the barren, rugged, hostile wilderness is inside our heads. And in our society, one of the great wilderness areas of our culture is depression. And people going in to a mental wilderness where their thoughts are distorted and their spirits are down and crumpled and they are immobilized and sometimes delusional about what's happening in the real world. And that is a wilderness where we're tempted away from God. We're tempted to reject our family and our loved ones and our jobs. We're tempted to not want to get up and make an effort every day. We're tempted to give up life because we're wandering around in the wilderness of depression. Many years ago, I worked with a young teenage girl. She was 16 years old. Something happened at school that drove her into a deep depression. And she didn't know how to handle it. Her parents didn't know how to handle it. The pastor didn't know how to handle it. And she kept getting worse. She kept getting more and more withdrawn. And finally, they entered her in a hospital over at Moore County Psychiatric Unit to try to help her. And there were psychiatrists there, and there were nurses, and there were aides, and there were psychologists all coming together to try to help this beautiful 16-year-old girl who seemed to have everything in life to live for. I mean, she was gorgeous. She was an A student. She was a head cheerleader at her school. I mean, what in the world could happen to a 16-year-old to take them into the wilderness of depression? And yet, she was going further and further and further into the wilderness. After a week and a half with that medical staff, and it was a good medical staff, she was worse than she was when she entered. And then in desperation, their pastor said, check her out and go see Mike Hale. Well, I must say, I was intimidated. I mean, Lord, what do you want me to do? You know, for a week and a half, she's had, you know, the best care. Anybody knew how to give her. She had psychiatrists and psychologists and doctors and nurses and staff. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. What can I do? And I just prayed and I said, I'll do what I usually do. In 3 1.5-hour sessions, that teenager was out of depression by the grace of God. 3 1.5-hour sessions. Now, that wasn't because of Mike Hale. But I think it was because Mike Hale knew the only thing that could help this girl was Almighty God. the only one who knew how far she had gone into the wilderness was Almighty God. The Jesus who ventured into the wilderness for you and me so he would know what we experienced in our pain, in our sorrow, yes, even in our depression or some other mental illness. Jesus went there so he could identify with you and me. And he claimed the victory, not just for himself, but you and me. And he confirmed that victory upon the cross, upon an empty cross, because he was raised from the dead and conquered death. And if you can conquer death, you can conquer anything. We have got a God who loves us so much that a perfect man without sin would be tempted in every way just like you and I are. That's what Hebrews says. Would be driven into the wilderness to be tempted like that by the Holy Spirit just so God could prove his love for you and me when we're struggling with the wilderness of life, when we're struggling with our temptations, when we feel like the devil is throwing everything he has at us. We already have the victory. That God is reaching out to you today. He wants to put his arms around you and reassure you how much he loves you and how he'll be there for you always. Even when your mind strays away from him and his purpose, he'll bring you back if you'll turn to him. Sermon title, When Do the Angels Come? They didn't come when Jesus was hungry. They didn't come when he was on the pinnacle of the temple. Oh, they would have come if he'd have thrown himself down. They didn't come when all the kingdoms were before him. But when he had resisted the temptations that the devil brought against him, and the devil had gone away, God sent his angels to minister to our Lord. You know, there may be angels among us right now. And certainly the popularity of Touched by an Angel makes us wonder about God's presence all of the time. God will be there to minister to us. I don't know how he does it, how his angels reach out to us. But I do know that like Jesus, we must resist temptation if we're to be comforted by the angels. Let us pray. Gracious Father, it's not easy being a human being. It's even harder to be a Christian. I guess once we become a Christian, we just open ourselves up against temptations that weren't all that big a temptation before we became a Christian. We don't always know how to deal with that. But because you were willing to deal with it on our behalf, we have a resource. You are our strength. You are our hope. And we pray that we might find strength in you. We desperately want to meet you here today for you to reassure us that just as you could bring that young girl out of the wilderness and depths of depression, that medicine and psychiatrists could not help her with, that your love can transform us. That sometimes you use those very doctors and medications and techniques to bring us out of the wilderness because you care about us and you don't want us to be tempted forever. Lord, help us to experience your love and care as we resist the temptations that draw us away from the good life. For we ask your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.